Welcome to the show.
Get out of my face.
I wasn't in your face.
You were in my face a second ago, and I'm requesting
you just
politely
sit there
that you
and
get
you
out
watch
of my
me
face.
Work on the thing.
Ian, do you know what you would hate more than me being quiet?
I don't think
if
there,
if I was
who's
over
being quiet.
Over
if
your
you're
shoulder.
Being quiet, I would throw a party. I would invite everyone
I was
we know.
Being silent as
and
hell.
And I would get a word in edgewise.
Are you kidding? That's so fucking funny coming from you who never lets me finish a sentence. Oh, now you're going to be quiet. Well, oh, now you're going
to
be quiet.
What I would love for you to not do, yeah. what you're not going to do, is yeah. interrupt me when I'm trying to like figure this computer thing out, and you're like, wish it was better. Wish you did a better job.
When did I do that? Tell me that. Was it while you were working?
Like, oh, I hope the volume's okay.
Or was it after you were done?
So after I'm
I
done
didn't
doing
interrupt
it, then you,
you,
con- you wait
now
to,
you're
you
making
wait till
things
I'm finished
up.
To condescend.
I didn't interrupt you.
I don't
you.
Fucking need this.
Yeah, see, you were caught in a lie.
I had a terrible
a
day
fucking,
at work.
You have a terrible day every day of
that
your life, Ian.
That is not true.
Every day. When do you come home from
mean.
Work with bluebirds on your shoulders
I,
going,
the
hello,
whole system
dear.
Went down at work. Which is not the norm. Mm-hmm. And I came to, this is, guys, if you were married to Catherine like I am. And
no
you,
one is married to Catherine.
Expected any kind of compassion or like a shoulder to cry on, you're not going to get it.
That's unfair. And you know
no,
it.
No, it's true.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Also, you don't like compassion.
I had a bad day at work, Catherine. Also, I brought you a cookie. Why don't you go fuck yourself and try to figure out how to set up the GarageBand with
too,
the new system?
Too much nutmeg in it. It was disgusting.
Oh my God.
It was
you
gross.
You could stand to have one less cookie anyway.
Wow. Oh my
I'll make,
God.
I'm bringing you home a salad tomorrow.
is reaching
dressing
a,
on
reaching
the, in the trash. No dressing for you.
Hi, can I have a Caesar salad dressing in the trash, please? Thank
Caesar
you.
Salad. Just
actually,
toss...
just put the whole salad in the trash. I'll go get it later.
Toss the salad. Give me the dressing. Do you know in Michigan, people, is it common where you're
is
from?
Is that the basic bitch's godfather?
What?
Toss the salad. Wait, leave the salad. I don't know. We'll
yeah,
figure
yeah,
it
yeah,
out.
I hear what you're saying. Okay. In Michigan, people dip their pizza in... ranch dressing, do they do that?
You
in?
People should be genocided.
Yeah.
No, nobody does that anywhere.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
That's disgusting.
I was never into it. They put ranch on everything.
Honestly, I say that's gross.
I know you, because we've had this conversation before, and you've been like, actually, that sounds good to me, and I slapped you in the face.
Oh.
No wife of mine will speak like that.
I'm so flabbergasted right now. Because you brought up something we've already talked about. You seem mad that we're talking about it again because we've already
I'm
talked
mad
about
it.
And also, you hit me in the face. I think it's disgusting in theory. Mm. However, in practice, it probably tastes good.
I was never a fan.
I could never do it in public, but like by myself, if nobody's watching, I'd have to pull down all the blinds, lock the door, probably turn the lights out, and then I would dip pizza in ranch dressing.
What, do you want to try it? Man, yeah. I feel like the audio's wrong, but
why?
We'll find out at the end. I don't well, know. Look at
you,
it. When
you
talk,
sure?
it's all big, and then when I talk, it's all little.
Wait, that's we me at the bottom?
No, that's me at the bottom. This, see that? That's you.
Oh, I
it's
see.
It's all big, but whatever.
But
we'll adjust it in
isn't
post.
That better?
I'll fix it in post.
Okay.
Oh,
we'll do it live. Better. What do you know? You're a fuck. You really are. Look me in the eyes, Ian. You're a fuck.
What did
but
I do know?
I really mean, isn't that better? Because
why
my
don't you just turn me off. Let me just turn Ian's mic off. It'll be the Catherine
not
show.
That's what I'm saying. Oh my God. I'm saying, put your phone away. Fuck, you're always on your phone.
I'm looking at what to talk about, you fucking asshole.
God damn it.
You've really, really been laying it on thick lately.
So have you.
I didn't do anything. I just got home from work. I tried to explain to you I had a bad day. You threw a chair in my head and said, give me my daily cookie.
You explained
and then
it
you said,
to
too
me.
Much nutmeg.
There was too much nutmeg in it.
I'm sorry.
It was disgusting. It was oatmeal raisin on top of everything. Too much nutmeg.
I just hope people really hear that story. Really take it in. Really drink it in. Catherine's daily cookie wasn't up to her liking. And I'm paying the price.
It's like bonbons.
All right, so I wrote down dog pussy, Crystalia.
Ian, don't write dog pussy down. Just remember it. You don't want that. You don't want the paper trail.
Yeah. She's of age.
But that's not the problem.
Crystalia wouldn't be interested.
Okay, so Crystalia update.
You're a big fan.
Crystalia latest.
Did you read that article?
Yes, I did. I read it. Okay, folks, okay. I did my research for once in my life.
Yeah, was somebody subtweeting at us?
Oh, well, I thought so because it was like hours after we published our episode.
I love when people have a podcast and say we didn't do any research.
And that's exactly what we did. Yeah. And it did make me feel bad. But in like a good way, a constructive way, because I'm like, maybe before I start talking about something, I should do my research. And guess what I found out doing my research? He is charged with fucking a minor and child porn and exploitation.
Yeah. Allegedly, so, he has like over 100 pictures of this young woman.
Lock him up.
Yeah.
With Hillary.
For his comedy.
Twofer. Lock them up.
Right.
Change your t-shirts. Yeah, I was thinking today. I mean, that's what you get. Number one, I wanted to comment on that's absolutely what you get. You walk the tightrope, you got to expect to fall, right? Like, if that's your type, barely legal, you're a fucking freak and you're probably going to end up in jail. Even if it was, which it wasn't, even if it was like an honest mistake, he somehow thought she was actually 18.
Right.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
Doing this, like going after high schoolers. What's wrong with you?
Right. You can't. 20 is not enough.
Yeah.
For
like
you.
20, like, 22 is too old for you.
Gross 22-year-old body.
Yeah.
Ew.
Just falling apart.
Yeah. Gross. All right, well, that's the end of Crystalia.
No. But I also was thinking, well, I did want to update that because I think last time I talked about it, I was like, what actually happened? He said it was all legal and consensual. But we all knew that this would eventually come out. So, yeah, send him to jail forever. Hmm.
It's going to be a fun journey to watch.
What, prison?
They should cover it like they covered, like, Casey Anthony or something. We should get like live courtroom footage of the whole thing.
And we have to hear his stupid text message transcripts.
Yeah, also, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because mentally he is on par with a 17-year-old.
Right.
Talking about which fucking Animal Crossing characters are their favorite or whatever.
Yeah, that's where they meet. That's their dates.
I was thinking, I was laughing so hard thinking about somebody trying to have the debate of like separating the artist from the art from the artist with Crystalia. It's like,
what's worse?
Oh no, can you still enjoy his it's a baby and the baby. I opened up that article about him being charged with child pornography, and it's just, it's him in the most ridiculous stance with his eyebrows up to the sky. His belt is a shoelace.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got like acid wash black jeans with a shoelace belt.
Oh.
I was just like, it was just tickling me so much to think of people being like, I don't know if I can enjoy his comedy anymore.
Yeah. This is why LA comedy sucks, and you know, New York comedy sucks too, but
comedy sucks.
Yeah, especially right now. But in LA, I used to always hear about, because everybody's like a bitch ass climber, you know, ass kisser. And I used to hear all the time people be like, no, you don't understand. Crystalia kills. It's like,
that doesn't
so
mean
what?
Yeah.
So fucking what? So does who's the
Gallagher?
Yeah. The wheels and the bus guy.
Who's that?
I don't know.
He sounds great.
You know what I'm talking about? The Gaffy or Jaffy or something like
that. Taffy Jaffy.
Taffy Jaffy.
Taffy Jaffy does kill.
Yeah.
Who am I, is that really, is that her name?
That's Taffy, her stage Jaffy name. I don't know.
She's
hilarious. She's a 150-year-old open micer.
She's the horniest woman in the world.
She always gets on stage and just sexually harasses young men in the front.
It's so funny. She's great. I like her. Let's replace Chris D'Elia with Taffy Jaffy. Can you imagine her selling out Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
Just trying to fuck everybody in the entire arena. That'd be wonderful.
That's what got Chris D'Elia into the mess.
Oh, yeah. He's damn. Taffy Jaffy gets me too'd. She's another predator.
What she's up to. Is she dead from coronavirus?
Don't, Ian, don't.
Rest in peace, I was going to say. Nothing bad.
Wait, what were you saying about him
before? Oh, just like people would say, like, oh, you don't understand. He murders. No. And it's like, so what? What happens to people when they get around successful people where they're just like, you know, if they were just a regular person who never got into comedy, they would be like, you know who I fucking hate is Harry Condobolo. But then you like get into comedy and he takes an interest in you, or you get to perform in the same venue, and now you're just the biggest ass kiss of all time, and you're like, this is actually good.
Yeah.
You understand, I've seen him murder so fucking what? I've seen the worst comedy in the world destroyed.
Yeah,
everybody's got one good tape or one good set.
Right. Well, you know, we've talked about Chris D'Elia so much that I am afraid of repeating things, but whatever. You can kill pretty easily when you're jingling keys in front of babies.
Right, right.
Like, number one, there's a reason why he attracted 16-year-olds to a show. I mean, that's just like the type of comedy he does, and it's, I think, easier to kill. Maybe not.
Yeah, he's lived a charmed life. I mean, he is the son of a famous, I think, director or something. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote a screenplay, Chris D'Elia did, and his dad sold the screenplay for him. Then the movie didn't get made, so he got his screenplay back and he sold it again. So his director dad was already rich, and he was already rich.
Wow.
And now he got all this free money, and then he got to do comedy, and then he happened to come up with what's her name?
Whitney
Cummings, and she put him on her show, and then it's just this like series of falling backwards, things you could only do in LA, because in New York skill does not matter at all, but in LA somehow less, you know, it's more this actor pretending to be a comedian,
climber,
you know,
kind
of, yeah, like I'll fill out my resume with an extracurricular activity of stand-up comedy, and I'm kind of like strutting around stage,
yeah,
and
anywhere
telling
that that might attract agents or some kind of management to an audience, I will go.
And right. The only good comedians really are the ones that were cooked in New York. And, you know, maybe they moved to L.A., but they have some kind of history with the East Coast. And to be clear, the East Coast in a different time where there were standards and people got up each other's asses and kicked hacks out of the room and stuff. Now,
I'm sure there are exceptions to the rule, though. My favorite comedian of all time, Maria Bamford, I think she's from Minnesota. I don't know if she ever did like the New York grind.
Yeah,
she just went out to LA.
There's an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
You know? But I think for the most part, you're going to find even the people you like that are in LA spent like a lot of time in Boston or something, you know?
Yeah.
And now and became like full adult comedians and then went over and bought a house.
I feel like mainstream everything is becoming so awful now, and I know people hate it when we say this. It's the only angry email we've ever gotten. I bring this up that we said pop music was getting worse than it used to be, and they're like, you should fucking kill yourselves already. But like mainstream comedy now has gotten so bad that I look back and I see Dane Cook. I saw Dane Cook in the Patrice documentary we watched, and I was like, you know what? Dane Cook used to make me fucking laugh. And he was funny for a 14-year-old, you know?
Right, yeah. Now it just seems like everything is, like I said to you the other day, like public domain jokes where people just will take the same, it's not even just jokes, but it's like point of views where you're just like, well, this, how do I distinguish this person from the previous person, you know? We're doing the
what did you say was public domain at this point?
Like God grant me the confidence of a mediocre white man with only one towel. There's different variations of that that just get passed around, and it's so bizarre to just watch so many different people tweet it and say it. You can go no bed frame.
Yeah.
You can go no fitted sheet. And then it doesn't always have to be God grant me the confidence. You can frame it as if like there's so many of my wonderful female friends are dating these terrible guys. Here's an example of how they're terrible. And it just, it's crazy. Like I said, just to see it again and again and again in different places on different Twitter accounts. And that's just the first one that pops in my head. There's so many others that's just like plug and play comedy. You're just watching somebody do covers at this point. Covers of a personality, covers of a specific joke, you know?
I think, for all his faults, Chris D'Elia's comedy was pretty unique. If you want to hear our real take of Chris D'Elia, join the Patreon. We broke down one of his specials.
Yeah, we actually watched one.
Like last May or something.
Yeah.
And it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's out there,
but it does have a lot of elements of that LA shit where it's just like the audience will give you long gaps between jokes, you know, where you just sit in things where you don't say anything, where you just kind of move around, or you can make a noise and like wiggle something for a long time, just forever. You can
There's
do it.
A lot of sound effects,
right?
Happening,
a lot of acting out, you know, that doesn't really. Like you're looking at it and you go, I forgot what this wiggling around, what joke this is tethered to, you know? I don't even know what I'm looking at anymore.
Yeah.
It just devolves into...
But that's the jingling keys in front of a baby thing. Yeah, people really love it. They were like, well, he murders. It's like, well, good for
him. The New York equivalent of that now seems to be just like, my jokes will come rapid fire at you, but you've heard them all before. If you're tuned in at all to comedy... Mm-hmm. If you're just a tourist, you might be like, wow, that person has so many jokes I never even considered. But then if you spend any time on Twitter and like the comedy Twitter realm, you've heard them all before, which is so disgusting.
Getting,
it's like hackneyed on a level we've never seen before.
Getting into comedy really ruins comedy for you.
Well, yes and no. I think we got into it at the worst conceivable time. I think... I said this on when we were talking about Patrice O'Neill. I don't remember if that was on a Patreon or not, but like one generation before us, people, because I started late, people actually my age, that generation consists of people like, you know, Dan St. Germain and, you know, Mark Normand and whoever else, Joe List, and there was a standard there, and they held each other to that standard. And then when we got into it, right when we got into it, it just seemed to be slowly deteriorating. And part of it is there was this huge boom. I blame podcasts. I think everybody started listening to WTF and Pete Holmes and heard the stories and hanging out at the comics table and like flooded New York with open micers. And most of them aren't funny. And then our unfunny people uphold like king unfunny people, like people who are unfunny but more charismatic, and then that becomes the scene, and it's just horrible.
Do you know comedy clubs as of today? Cuomo said comedy clubs can open April 2nd.
Is that because Stand Up New York tried to sue them?
I don't know if that actually worked. That's wild.
He's got enough on his plate. He's
exactly
like, yeah, whatever.
So they can open at 33% capacity, and my first thought was, oh man.
Oh, I know. I'm like, am I done?
I thought, I was like, I thought we were. You know what's crazy? I have been doing spots. I've been doing outdoor spots.
Not me.
But like, I still, like the fact that it's like going back to normal, I was like, I kind of thought we would all just pretend that never happened and hunker down, and it's going to be so weird for a while.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't, like, I don't want to go back and do my old fucking jokes.
Right?
And I don't want to write another full whatever.
It feels awful. It feels awful trying to, like, if you haven't written 10 to 15 minutes of new material, telling those jokes you told in a totally... Nobody is the same person that they were before coronavirus hit. So, like...
You have no attachment emotionally
to these
jokes.
Yeah, so it really feels like you're just vomiting out these words. It's like your ghost telling these jokes that don't mean anything anymore.
I mean, I'm afraid I don't know how to, like, behave on a stage or anything.
You won't. I mean, you have to just like, dive in and fail a little.
Yeah, I saw that announcement because I saw Stand Up New York was like, they're fighting with people online, which is another topic of idiots. But like, they were tweeting about how like they were opening back up, and then I saw that people started tweeting at them, and then they started being like, oh, okay, we're going to put this person up. And I was like, I could tweet at them right now or text the booker and probably get on the opening day show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there for a while. I was like, I'm not going to fucking do it. You know, and then we have a few shows that we lined up, and they're just in my calendar. Like,
what, Nashville?
Nashville and then the Texas.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess start writing, I guess.
It feels so weird. Yeah. Well, I guess we have to do it.
I've developed such a disdain for it,
too. I know.
Because now your only window into the comedy world is like what you see online.
Yeah, we just see people bickering and squabbling online. And yeah, just it's being like,
so obnoxious and embarrassing. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to be part of this community. I threw some stand-up on... Somebody like their album drop, somebody, you know, not super big, yeah, but does clubs and stuff. I watched about 3 minutes of it. I was like, ew, I don't even want to.
Really? I'm never in them.
It just like grosses me out
at
this point.
You, when we were flipping through Netflix the other day, you were like, do you want to watch Brian Regan's new special? And I was, it's nothing to do with him. Well, I don't know. But I was just like, no.
Yeah.
Straight stand-up comedy. I don't know.
And still, and we still like identify as comedian, because you just can't.
Because if you're not, then what are you?
You die.
Fuck.
Yeah, bro.
I'm not. I am. Like, after,
yeah, you're still doing. It,
I'm
though,
still
so it's
doing
a little
spots,
different.
And the first one back after a couple months, I walked home like fucking. This is really embarrassing, but like Mary Tyler Moore throwing her hat in the air, like emotional. I was like, I love this. This is my favorite thing to do. It's so great. And then, you know, you. 2 days go by and you're like, fuck that. I never want to go back again. People are just so nice right now and it's great. It was snowing, yeah, but it was still a sold out show and people were just so excited to be outside doing something. I think it helps that it's BYO. So they're all like just swigging out of double bottles of wine each, just having a great time. So like everything you say, they're delighted by and it feels good. It's, I don't know if it's helping to like make you better, but it felt nice.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the draw of it. I just don't want to go back into the fray with all these people. I don't want to see any of them. I don't want to listen to their fucking garbage. I definitely don't want to have to go beg all of them, because that's the thing. You got to go, can I please do your fucking show, guy, who I would never speak to in high school,
well,
who I would, you know, avoid at all costs.
Also, we've all been at best passive aggressive, at worst fully aggressive with each other online. It's been like digital Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we're all just going to go back and look each other in the eyes anymore. We've shown our true selves and it's very ugly.
Right.
How are we going to do this like fake schmoozing stuff?
Yeah. And there's all these like pro club people, anti club people, like people who think you, I don't know, that we should burn it all down. But then it's like, those people who believe that, I kind of agree with them, but I hate them. So what they want to do is they want to build it back up in their image. And now I got to go to you, you know, to not get paid somewhere. And now it's in the fucking back of a bar.
What percent of the world's population do you think it can, like, from open micer to professional, is a stand-up comedian? Like,
man, I was
0.0001%. Let's figure out a way to divide ourselves even more. Good idea,
right,
guys.
Right.
Fucking what?
But you know, I would almost be on board because it's all under this guise of like clubs should be paying more and don't hire enough new people or whatever. And but that's what they say. That's what these people say. But then their whole actions, all their actions are basically like, I should be paid. And if you're not paying me, that's because I'm too good for your club. It just, they seem like dicks.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw my hat. It all comes back to something we talk about all the time. I don't want to be in a group. And comedy is just all these cliques and all these groups. And then the whole thing itself is one big group. And I fucking hate everybody within it. You know, right. So then like, how do you operate in that? Which is why I never got on anything to begin with, you know? So it's like, that's the type of stuff that drives me nuts. Cause there's already the pressure of writing new stuff and worrying about how good you are and if people appreciate what you're saying and how funny you are, you know, which is fine if that's all it was, because that's part of the whole deal and getting better and evolving as a artist. But like, I don't need all this extra loser bullshit.
At the same time, it's very stressful because I don't want to start shit with anybody. I'm trying to think of a better phrase, but like, I'd like to get along with people.
Well, I would like to not... What drew me to comedy to begin with was like, you know, I had done sketches and stuff with people or tried to write things with people. Mm-hmm. And I fucking hated their ideas, or we would get into arguments.
Hey,
or,
I'm going to take this solo.
Yeah. This I mean, that was part of the appeal of it, right? Like, I can be my own boss, really.
It's right.
Not money wise, but like, as far as creativity is concerned, you get 100%. You have 100% of the risk and you get 100% of the reward.
Yeah.
And that sounds great, but that's not what it's like at all. It's like, you think that improv, that's like where you have to have teammates and stuff, but in comedy you need the backing of everybody has to be in your corner and decide together before any audience member sees a comedian. All the comedians have gotten together and decided that person is allowed to perform.
Yeah,
you know, and if the whole community does that for somebody, they get to perform everywhere, they get to go up every night. You know, and then the audience is introduced to them. But there's a bunch of people who for whatever reason don't get along or aren't embraced by the other comedians, or the other comedians are threatened by them or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You know, there's some perceived slight.
I've never.
And then you never get introduced to the audience.
Think about how much power, because everything, like, nobody makes any money off of this, how much power other comedians have over your career.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's so funny. No, I know that. But like, think about, I've never seen an accurate portrayal in a movie, because all movies make it seem like it's still the 80s, where like, you're just a young, starry-eyed come up and you're mopping the floor at the comedy club,
right.
And then
you get up there,
the
and
headliner
kill.
Slips on a banana peel, and you get up there and you kill, and the club owner's chain smoking in the back going like, hey, you got Moxie, kid, how about tomorrow night, you in, you, but, and they give you like a 20 and you're like, oh my god, I made it. Instead, all of these people decide based on your Twitter following, how you look.
Well, there's that, but there's also,
whether you can,
like,
do their bar show.
Are they already friends? Are these people that already hang out? Like, you and I have full-time jobs, and a lot of people don't. So they're at the diner every night having those conversations, you know. They're going to each other's weddings and shit. And when it's time for a show, they're going to book each other. And I've seen it, like, that story you just made up about like somebody going up and just killing, you know, I've been in so many situations where I've gone up and murdered and I'm like, now everybody's going to see. And I look out the fucking window and there everybody is outside.
They're all high-fiving each other.
They're all outside hanging out.
No, that's, you know what I mean? Like, they're all being the best of friends.
And then they don't even watch for each other. So the next person comes up.
Oh, that's not what it's about. Group. They're not interested in watching comedy.
Yeah. Well, it's because the motivations, there's so many extra motivations. And I think the main motivation is having eyes on you. You know, I want to be under a spotlight. Me too. Let's be friends. We can make a show. And it's like, it's so weird how few people consider how the audience is actually feeling, you know?
Right. We made that. We accidentally started talking about The Craft, like all of our least favorite podcasts. How comedy, we always complain when people do this.
Well, whatever. Nobody listens to this shit anyway.
That's true.
Oh, well, you know what you were saying, like, what percentage of people are comedians?
Yeah.
I started going through, like, my suggested Twitter followers recently, and you just start scrolling, and it'll say, actor, comedian, writer, actor-comedian. I've been on NBC. I've been on MTVU. I'm an actor-comedian. Actor,
MTVU?
And it's just, well, whatever. You know those obscure things that people put in their bio? Like
MTV Europe.
Yeah, shit like that.
Yeah.
MTV3 or something. But it just kept going. And I don't recognize their faces. Just goes on and on.
Maybe, maybe I'm totally off. Maybe it's like 75% of the world's population.
And you maybe feel like such a...
The only people who aren't comedian adjacent are like those tribes in the Amazon who...
Shakespeare's and planes that are flying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there was a Norm Macdonald, the first time he was on television, was Star Search, and the other guy, the other comedian, was named like, I don't know, African Bill or something, and was dressed up like a
spear.
I think. It's in his book.
Are you sure he didn't make that up?
No, because I've heard him talk about it in other. I think I looked it up. I think I looked it up on YouTube.
Bushwicked
or something, like I forget the name of the.
Did that person kill?
I think Norm lost. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on any of this.
Okay, fine. I won't.
But yeah, like when you see so many comedians like that, you can't help but be like, yeah, but I actually have a few jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can actually, I don't get up, I don't do the, hey, it's catcalling season. I don't say, I'm at the age where all my friends are getting married. I don't do the plug and play stuff. I don't, you know?
Yeah.
I actually got some stuff for you. Some interesting shit. You don't have to go have a cigarette.
That's 100% true for you. For me, I think I have a pretty good grasp on why I'm not headlining Madison Square Garden right now. No, it's true. I mean,
first of all, you do get a lot of spots. You do get booked.
Sure.
Because you're funny. It happens for you.
Sure.
Go on.
No, I don't think I work very hard or put myself out there.
Yeah, well, I do that too. I mean, that's a big part of it.
I do think it's like 75% my fault. 25% gypsy curse.
Right. Well, yeah, I know I'm not, I have blame too.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just, you got to look yourself in the mirror and be like, this is schmoozing and networking is part of the game.
There's a lot of stuff.
Do you want to do it or not?
Yeah, we're not willing to do because of, like, perceived integrity, but possibly just, like, elitism in a certain way. Where we're like, I'm not going to be, why would I ingratiate myself with that fucking person?
Right, or the integrity is excuses to a certain degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Both can be true,
yeah.
I think. I do think a lot of it's trash.
Oh, I agree. That's what helps me sleep at night.
Sure. Oh, man, I don't know. I've been thinking, like, do I have to start writing stuff again? I guess I do.
Yeah.
Boo. I mean, but nobody's going to book me, so what does it matter? But
just
then,
do,
like,
it. Because do it. Because one day somebody will, and you're going to be like, fuck, I cannot talk about, like, you. This is your example, but the missing Malaysian airplane.
Right,
like, I
right,
can't.
Right, right.
It's just, you got to be ready.
That would be funny, though.
that would be good.
To do a whole, be like, I haven't written any new jokes before COVID.
Lorena Bobbitt's in the news.
Yeah.
Speaking of artists,
okay.
We promised on the Discord that we would talk about Woody. I promised, my fault. The Woody Allen, Allen versus Pharaoh HBO docuseries.
Yeah. We are watching... I'm a big fat fatty on TLC again, whatever it's called, you know.
I'm the biggest fucking fat person on the planet. Yeah.
Try to look at me. That's what it's called. but
they, first of all, that's honestly very close to what the title is. And they, when they do the talking heads portion, like, you'll hear the voiceover and you think you're safe. And then all of a sudden they cut to the person and they are on the ground at an angle pointing upward into their, like, grundle.
Yeah.
And that makes it look, it's this, like, fishbowl kind of effect. That makes
it. They
know
it, what they're doing.
It's enormous. And then their head's extra tiny. And you're just like, oh my God.
Right.
Why is that the best angle?
I mean, I had not seen one until this series where they just have somebody who's just naked all the time.
Oh, yeah. One guy walks around naked because he gets too hot because he weighs 800 pounds, but he's...
They
don't know what to blur. There's all these blurs, like, all over. Like you said, some guy was just like, I'm not losing my job for this.
Yeah,
I'm
that might be a pussy. I don't know.
You never know.
Anyway, watching that show gives me the same kind of feeling as watching the Woody Allen thing.
Yes.
Where it's just like,
okay,
this is disgusting. Mm-hmm. I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
Everybody involves a bad person.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. 100%. I think, I don't know if we've matured, or I do think it's twofold. I think perhaps I'm slowly growing out of pedophile documentaries. I think I'm finally realizing, hey guys, this isn't a healthy form of entertainment.
Right. It's actually wrong what they're doing.
Perhaps we should stop doing this. But also,
why is this a genre? Maybe I spend less money on like the production and more money on like law enforcement or something.
Yeah, right.
Investigating.
There's some guy whose entire salary, like whose entire year's worth of money is paid for like writing the score for this pedophile documentary. It's like pling, pling, pling. It's always piano music.
Yeah. Foley artist for the finger sucking.
He's like walking up the stairs into the attic.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you guys, we gotta stop doing this. We're part of the problem because we tune in every week.
I
and
know.
We're still going to until the series is
I
over.
I was all ready to tune in and be like, oh god, this is disgusting. But yeah, the self-loathing I felt immediately.
Yes.
Especially because I was talking to some friends and they were talking about the Fred Hampton movie.
Yeah.
And
that, which is fantastic,
right? And
the
fact that I felt so much shame knowing that I had seen one episode of the Woody Allen thing the night it came out, and the Fred Hampton thing I had put off, which is like critically acclaimed, you know, important movie, probably the definitely the best movie I've seen in like a year.
Same. Yeah.
And I put it off and watched this shit instead, you know. It makes you feel bad.
Yeah. Well, there's a, I
what
mean,
are you doing?
This is also perhaps another deeper issue, but I didn't know who Fred Hampton was before that movie. I knew the name, but I didn't really know who Fred Hampton
was.
Well,
that's why they made the
movie. And I knew who Woody Allen was.
Sure.
If I could undo that, I'd swap in Fred Hampton for Woody Allen, but here we are. We're learning. I think, back to the Woody Allen documentary, I went into this like, oh, this is such a circus and nobody really knows what happened. And I like had my mind made up before I watched it. Now I'm like, ooh, send Woody Allen to jail now, just in case.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear anymore. But
right. Like, I think what people get hung up on is that, because at some point society just decided, Sun Yi was an adult.
Suni, by the way, that they call her, which is very confusing. They call her Suni.
Right. Well, I don't know if that's a nickname or not.
Hey, where'd you go to college? Suni Previn. Okay, go on.
What was I going to say? Oh, we all as a society just decided like, okay, well, kind of weird, but it's not his real daughter and she was older and...
Yeah.
And it's like, first of all, what? Why did we decide that was okay? But then, like, everybody was like, and I think she's probably lying about him grooming the youngest daughter, right?
Yeah.
So if you watch it, if you watch the documentary, it's pretty, I don't know. Obviously, it's got a bias because they don't fucking interview him. And they just...
No, he interviews himself.
Yes,
you're right. He wrote a fucking memoir last year. Yeah, exactly. He has his own OJ memoir.
Well, I'm talking about the youngest daughter.
No,
right?
I know what you mean, but still, the way he comments in that book, the way he feels the need to weigh in...
Right.
It doesn't directly incriminate him with his youngest daughter, but it's just like, it doesn't make him look good.
Yeah, no,
at all.
I think he did it, but like you're watching that and you're like, oh, this is so gross. And then end of the first episode, they hit you with the first like Sun Yi, like discovery that they were having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, why the fuck were we ever okay with this? If even 100% of what he says is true, which is that he waited like he made out with her at a screening for one of his movies when she was like 19 or something.
Yeah.
This is a girl that he raised. It's yeah. like
he had known her for at least, I think, 12 years at that point. Yeah, which...
that's his side of the story, right?
Yeah.
And the true side of the story is that...
It's always
that,
worse.
that what Mia Farrow found naked photos of Soon-Yi, yeah. like hustler style. Like, and also this girl was from like a... She was like a street child, like a street urchin.
Yeah,
when they adopted her,
she was like,
so she's full to the brim with trauma and shit.
Yes.
Oh, it's all just so disturbing.
It's really upsetting. This is what we do to people. Also,
and I hate Ronan Farrow so much. So you want to be like,
yeah, yeah, you want just to just be like, shut the fuck up. But unfortunately, do you remember the bit you were doing when Mia Farrow talks about finding the Polaroids and she's like, and they were graphic. They were like honestly, not even like Playboy, like Hustler.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were like Jugs or maybe Blacked. Have you been to Blacked? They got some good stuff on Blacked.
It was rough stuff. But yeah, the staff at Woody Allen's apartment, his like maid and doorman said that, confirmed in court that Soon-Yi had been coming to the apartment like way before she graduated high school, meaning yeah. she was at least 17.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just not, it just is true. And then again, if it's not, he, by his own admission, some fucking creepy stuff went on.
Yes.
You know? Maybe he waited till, he pulled like a Chris D'Elia and waited till 12:01.
Right, yeah.
On her 19th birthday or whatever. But even then, like, what the fuck?
That means like that doesn't just happen.
At the very least, no more movies. You don't get to make any more movies.
Stop making these like whimsical movies.
Right, you don't get to cast Scarlett Johansson in a fucking
movie.
Yeah,
in your like noir, your like detective noir movie.
Yeah, and all you guys got splaining to do too, you know what I mean? All these celebs that'll be in all these movies for him.
Right. I mean, all like our parents, honestly, have splaining to do.
Our parents were in Woody Allen movies?
Well, I'll speak for my own parents, but they really liked Woody Allen, especially my mom. And it's like, that was already common knowledge. The Soon-Yi thing happened in like 92. He made like 30 movies after that. And I'm growing up and my mom's like, you have to see Annie Hall. He's married to his daughter. No more Annie Hall.
Right.
We get it. She wears a tie. Yeah. It's adorable. You know what's so weird about Annie Hall? How people will be interviewed and they're like, I was just blown away. No one had ever depicted a woman on screen the way Woody Allen depicted Annie Hall. It's like, she's a dork from Wisconsin who wears a goddamn vest and tie. I don't get it. She goes, la-di-da, la-di-da. I get it that Diane Keaton is very charming,
mm-hmm.
but...
Yeah, it's mostly Keaton.
Best
right?
representation of a woman on screen.
Didn't Keaton bring the vest?
Yeah, I think she
wasn't
decided
she already
that outfit.
Wearing vests.
Yeah, she was a vest pioneer.
She still wears vests.
You know what? This is typical man shit. Woody Allen gets the credit for Diane Keaton wearing vests.
A tale as old as time.
Anyway, I was just saying, like, we really all should have taken the marrying his daughter thing a little more seriously.
Right.
To
each his own, you know, different strokes type of thing.
Everyone.
What a fucking freak, man.
I know. But
in
also...
Manhattan, which I, like, see, I was never, I've seen maybe 3-4 Woody Allen movies and I couldn't recap any of them for you. I think I was, because smart people liked Woody Allen. Funny people yeah. liked Woody Allen. I always wanted to like Woody Allen, but it always just never like grabbed me.
Do you know how my it's only one alarm on my phone? I think it's my 10 a.m. alarm. It's like music. Yeah. Sounds like it's Gershwin because that's how Manhattan opens.
Oh boy.
I bought
part of the problem.
I know, I'm really, I bought that on iTunes. It's one of like 5 songs I've ever actually purchased, and I bought it because I thought it would be a nice, I watched Manhattan like 10 years ago and I thought that would be a cool,
what the fuck, I would like to
alarm.
I would hope that if I had seen that movie, because everybody's so charmed by that fucking movie,
yeah,
you know, and like
he's so obnoxious.
Turns out I learned through watching the documentary that the movie's about dating a baby. It's like, this is what everybody is into.
We all, this is like the Britney Spears thing, how we're like, how did we all miss?
Yeah,
she's having a full breakdown. She shaves her head. She's smashing cars. She couldn't be asking for help any louder. And we all pointed and laughed. And this is similar in that we're just like, he was begging. Like, he had an, like, a fucking megaphone screaming in our faces that he dates children.
Yeah. I don't know where we are in society with taking down our heroes. You know, it feels like we've gotten a little obnoxious with it.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said for humbling people before they become the all-powerful celebrity of the world. You know, like,
yeah,
they show this old footage of Woody Allen, you know, when he was at his peak and he was just, everybody loved him and he was the king of Manhattan and you know, the whole country was obsessed with him. And you can even listen to, speaking of listen to comedy podcasts, you listen to a lot of the old guys, older guys talk about how all they ever wanted was to meet Woody Allen or to be Woody Allen or be as funny as him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you just create, you know, you create like fucking Epstein type guys. Guys that are like, I am an actual god where laws of nature and laws of man do not apply to me.
Well,
and it's great. It gets out of control.
I would like to say, I think that Woody Allen is or was whatever, very funny and very talented. I've always really liked him. I also think he's got a complex. Like, he,
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
He sort of perpetuated the Woody Allen is the funniest person on earth. Sort of nobody did that like neurotic sort of thing better than he did. He sort of like defined that. He really honed it and people liked it and his stuff was really funny and unique. And I guess people just got lost in it. I don't know how, because it seems like, I'm not even saying like at the time, if all you know is he married his longtime girlfriend's adopted daughter that he sort of raised, and you go, oh, that's fucking weird. I'm not even saying like cancel him, whatever that means, or like send him to prison. I'm just saying like if he keeps making these movies where he's dating 16-year-olds, just go like, that's weird. Will you stop doing that? I guess he really didn't do it that often.
The timeline's all over the map, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's his story that he dated, you know, this woman when she went to college. But that, there's phone calls that are, like, you know, talking about how she's young and stuff that Mia Farrow recorded in the documentary.
Yeah.
In the second episode. So it's like, it's not true. You know, he was fucking her through high school.
Yeah.
So when she was in high school and when she was like still living at home and stuff, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's just really heinous and disgusting. I really respect that kid, Moses.
Yeah.
Because he's not in the documentary.
Yeah.
And that would be me. No matter, like, if something, the most horrific thing happens to people I'm the closest with, I'm never going to fucking turn it into a circus and go on TV and talk about it or
have
whatever.
HBO cut you a paycheck. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned that it's so disgusting when the HBO like static comes on and it's like you're watching the Sopranos.
Like, and you're like, ooh,
like you're
Alan versus
you're like,
Pharaoh.
You're about to watch Sex and the City or something.
Yeah.
And instead it's,
you know,
people's
what I,
trauma and like horrible, you know,
exactly,
upbringing.
And we consume that all the time. Like you said before, why is this a genre? It is, but I think it's more palatable when you have a victim talk about their like the horrible things that happened to them, and they're an adult, and you just like kind of you're left to your imagination. But in this most recent episode, Mia Farrow puts a camcorder in her 3-year-old's face and makes her recount exactly what happens to her. And that's when you're like, okay, this isn't entertainment anymore, guys.
This is a court. This
Let's
is like,
turn
we're in a courtroom.
It off. I don't want to watch a toddler relive this. This isn't fun or helpful. Or.
But I go back and forth because imagine you're this family and this guy did this to you and did this to your family. And then you just watch everywhere you go, there's celebrities gushing about him. He's still putting out stuff. He's still like one of the most famous people in the world. And you go, I'm at my fucking wit's end.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump off a roof. I have to figure out a way.
I
so
think
you go,
I would.
Like, this is the only way. People watch this stuff. People consume this stuff. So I need this guy to fuck off. I need him to pay for his crimes.
I think I would take the camcorder and point it in a different direction and not tell her. But she's like, got it in her face. I don't know. There's something about pointing it at her.
They had to. She had to, I think. Because really? Then that was used as evidence in court.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to shit she on just Mia record Farrow, her voice? She keeps taking this fucking guy back every time she catches him with his like face in his daughter's lap and stuff. She had some misfires for sure.
Took him to a psychologist
right.
to have him figure out
why he kept trying to molest their daughter.
Yes. So she's trying to figure out if my boyfriend is acting sexually inappropriate with my toddler. And she waited until she like actually had hard evidence.
I mean, that's why you wish you could get a better documentarian so you could get some people saying like, hey, look, she was caught up in the glamour of being the it couple of the time.
Yeah.
You know, she liked it. She was famous as fuck. He was manipulating her, but also, you know, it's her fucking kid. She could have run away. She's a millionaire.
Right.
You know, she can afford it. She owns a plantation or whatever.
There's something about the way that Mia Farrow says the word boyfriend that's upsetting to me. Like, she sounds 16.
Yeah.
Well, he was my boyfriend, and I was just happy to have a boyfriend.
What was her deal, too? She's all screwed up because she was famous.
She had a spinal tap when she was 3, and that she never got over that, or however old she was. Yeah, her dad was a director, her mom was an actress, so she grew up in Hollywood. She was famous by the time she was, like, 18.
Right. And she had a bunch of marriages before that.
Oh, yeah, she married Frank Sinatra.
That's where Ronan gets his puffy-ass lips and... Yeah. Plastic cheekbones.
Yeah.
You can tell they look just like each other.
It's crazy.
They both look like ventriloquist dummies.
But what was I going to say about her? I don't remember anymore. I don't like anybody at the end of the day involved in this documentary, but I do think it really seems...
What? Unnecessary?
No, well, like he did it... Definitely exploitative.
It could have been a movie.
Yeah, please.
This is where people keep fucking up, you know? You don't need to end. Imagine that. You watch a fucking pedophile thing, it ends on a cliffhanger, and you go, I wonder what's going to happen to our friends next week.
Right?
You
know?
What kind of hijinks are going to get into on Tuesday?
So fucked up. God damn.
Yeah.
It just really made me... This whole, like, the... Woody Allen's whole attitude too. Nothing besides like actually physically being there and witnessing something happen can really allow anybody to say this happened. But just on a totally separate note, learning about Woody Allen really makes you dislike him. His whole like when they met, he's like, we have to have separate houses. If you want to have a kid, you have a kid.
Yeah, maybe I'll get involved.
Yeah, but
probably but
they
not.
Were like planning on staying together, but he's like, it's your kid. You support it financially. You take care of it. I'm not touching a diaper.
Right.
So weird. He's
and he
so...
writes, and that's him talking.
Yes. He's so wrapped up in himself.
Yeah.
And it becomes like, you know, we've talked about narcissism, like self-deprecating narcissism is still narcissism.
Right.
You can know all your flaws, but you still worship them.
Yeah.
You still... obsess over
it's
yourself.
Very bizarre.
He couldn't give up like any bit of himself to the point where he would date somebody for over a decade but never even cohabitate. He just like visits because he has to have his life.
Yeah, and wanders in and out of these kids' lives.
Right.
You know, adopts one and then he's hands off and they molest one and then they can't be around him for a while. And then he goes to therapy and then comes back and
so
still molest
weird.
Them. No good. Do you know, sorry, change the subject.
That's
but,
quite all right. I'm happy to change the subject.
What's the date today? The 4th?
I think it's the 3rd.
Third, yes. Tomorrow's the 4th. Did you know tomorrow's like a big QAnon day?
March the 4th be with you. Is that what they say?
I want to just have a conversation.
I'm just, you know.
We should have
professional
a third host and
comedian.
Then you can just say your little things. I can have, you know what I mean?
You guys are having like an adult conversation and I'm like, March the 4th.
Right.
be with you.
I used to listen to this podcast that I really liked, but the host got like progressively more drunk and high during the tenure.
Was it Ted? What's his name? Who's the guy who just smokes weed? Greg Benson? Is it Greg Benson?
Greg Benson. Doug Benson? No.
Doug Benson. Yeah.
Anyway, like one of the two hosts would be fighting, and then the one host would just start getting closer to the microphone and like yelling his point into it, and then he would like whisper it really loud so that you couldn't hear the other person.
Sounds funny.
It was not. It would go on for so long. It was so obnoxious.
I like it.
Anyway. Tomorrow's
QAnon day.
QAnon believes that tomorrow President Trump is going to get sworn in as president. And I was trying to fucking read about why they think that. It's so fucking complicated.
What do they think is going to happen? That's so funny.
They think... Oh my God. I want to be able to say... There's
he's going to show up at the White House to be inaugurated?
Something about Biden... I mean, depends on where you look. But yeah. Some people say that Biden... was sworn in 10 minutes before like noon or whatever, so it's like negated and he didn't say all the words,
shit.
So he's not technically the president. And if you look closely, he hasn't been actually signing any executive orders, just white sheets of paper. And
I believe that
you believe that.
I believe that. Like, here you go, Joe.
yeah it's Joe. A coloring book and a big boy menu. Do the maze.
He's like, did you we bomb Jack. Syria?
Yeah. And they say if you look closely, you can see his guards like turn away from him because they. And then there's all this other shit about how they think that, like, we became a country in 1776, and then in like 18 something, the Fed took over the country and turned us into a business, so we're not technically a country. So
I think I saw that in what's that?
Zeitgeist or something?
Don't
really?
They say that in Zeitgeist?
Yeah, they're called, I forget what they're called, but they believe that laws don't apply to them because we're not really a country. And sure. They've been around for a long time, but they're now merging with QAnon. And okay. So something is going to happen where the Fed is going to lose control of the United States as a corporation, and it's going to revert back to its original state as the founding fathers meant it to be, and Trump is going to become like the 18th president or something.
What?
Because all the other presidents we had were didn't count. It's so complicated.
Are you gonna restorm the Capitol with their muskets?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. We said this before because they are always throwing out these dates, things that are supposed to happen, and I'm wondering if anything's going to happen tomorrow. They have beefed up security like all over the country.
I did see something about that, although they were very vague. They didn't really mention QAnon, at least not in the headline. They were
it's
just like
so hard
worried about something happening tomorrow, like another riot. Yeah. So they are looking out for it. God,
it's so hard to find this stuff because, you know, it's been scrubbed from the internet.
Yeah.
So you got to go to, like, your best bet is you go to, like, QAnon recovery groups on Reddit, and they'll openly talk
they'll
about what they used to believe. Yeah. Bunch of narcs.
Wow. I'm so, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Just
what
like
says.
What they think is gonna happen tomorrow. Like, he's just gonna walk right back into the White House.
Well, I guess I forget why, but the military is going to take over the country, like, when I don't know. So right now the military has all the authority and Biden has nothing. He's nobody because he wasn't actually sworn in. And then Trump's going to come in and the military's going to give him his rightful place.
And all the military wives are going to be one collective first lady.
Yes.
And go off-roading on the weekend.
Isn't it funny there's a first gentleman now?
I always forget about him. Yeah, what's he up to?
I don't know.
Brave.
Jet skiing.
Jet ski scooter.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, well.
No!
What?
We're 1 minute away. Unless I'm right. We're at 59 minutes.
Is there anything we can promote? Go to the Patreon. Leave a review on iTunes.
Yeah, nobody's done that in a while.
Tell your friends.
Please do. We're back at our wit's end.
Oh, we never left.
Yeah, we're still at our wit's end. That's what I meant.
Is there a new Woody Allen thing on tonight? Or is that Sundays?
Didn't we watch it last night? Did we not? What day is it? No, today's Wednesday. It's on, it's on Sunday.
Okay.
Okay. So
nothing to do tonight.
No. We're going to keep watching Dead to Me.
Oh, man. Do we have to? I have to go get a goddamn bridge, permanent bridge put in tomorrow. Who is, don't we have somebody who's a dentist or something that listens to the
dental
show?
Dental hygienist. That was a while ago, though. I hope she still listens.
Well, email me.
I don't
know
if it was a hygienist. It might have been something, something dental.
I started reading all, you should never do this, but when you're going to get something done, you read all like the things that could go wrong.
I don't trust a single dentist on
me
this
either.
Planet.
That's my problem. The thing, because I got to get this tooth put in here.
Much like this country, they're
go
a business.
Ahead. Say your thing.
They're a business.
Okay.
And Q's going to take over the dentist.
Right.
And revert it back to not a business.
You heard it here first.
So, tomorrow.
Okay,
watch out,
well,
dentist. Okay, we made an hour. Fuck you guys. Yeah. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.